things from the viewpoint of how the world looks at things, how their what their perspective of our situations are. But if we're forced to take a look, you know, at God from the world's perspective, God right now wouldn't rate very high in the list of must-haves. See, the world tells us a lot of things that we must have, but on that list is not God. You see, lately, God's sovereignty has gotten a really bad rap on things, how the world looks at things. We look at our situations and let's say tragedy strikes, for example. You know, we get sudden bad news from a doctor that includes one or more of the following words: cancer, terminal, inoperable. What about car accidents that involve the loss of life of our loved ones? Or something that affects so many people, like a mass shooting. And while we're all thinking about that and wondering, you know, where do we go from here? Sometimes, before the impact of that tragedy has gone from our heads to our hearts, some goody-two-shoe, wannabe theologian wraps his ever-familiar arms around your shoulders and whispers words intended to comfort, but instead they cut like a knife. God is sovereign all the time, and that he allows all this to happen for a higher good. But you know, here's the problem. If that's all you know about God's sovereignty, you would conclude that God is good sometimes, but he's cruel other times. You would say, you just can't trust him. That's if that's all you knew about God. You see, our title for today's message is God is Sovereign. Our scripture is taken from Isaiah 45, verses 1 through 8, with our focal verse being verse 8. And I hear the pages turning. I'll wait for you. Isaiah 45, verse 8. And it reads, "Rain down your heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it." God is good sometimes, but he's cruel at others. Wow, what a statement. The horrible thing is that there are so many people who believe that, but there's also more people who sell it. But I want to tell you, I'm here to tell you today that that's not a true statement. But it will take me some time to explain the truth about God's sovereignty, if you're willing to stick in here with me. Let's start with a foundational truth. God's display of his sovereignty is scary sometimes, but only because it's something we can understand. It's not something we can understand. The second foundational truth is that when it comes to how he manages his creations or events of history, God really doesn't need our permission. Amen. I think you better recognize he doesn't need our permission. God's sovereignly expounds. I want to begin by looking at looking at what term sovereignty really means. It means independent. Mm-hmm. It means that God is the ruler of all.
Yes.
It means that God answers to no one. Mm-hmm. It means he can accomplish whatever he wants in all things. It means God sees history from the beginning to the end. There is no obstacle or adversity to hinder him. His plan from happening, and yes, that means you. You cannot hinder God's plan. God is afraid of nothing. He is ignorant of nothing. He needs nothing.
Yes.
He is God. God always knows what's best, and he never makes a mistake. Sovereignty means God is in control of everything, yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
Let me repeat that just in case you missed it. God is in control of all,
yes,
yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing can stop God or slow God's sovereign purposes. 150 years before the events happened, God revealed to Isaiah the details surrounding Israel's return to the land he had given their ancestors after their captivity. Mm-hmm. Don't believe me? Go read Isaiah 45, 2 through 6. Isaiah 45, 6 and 7 seems to sum things up for us. God is the ruler of the universe, and he is the king of human history. God is not the author of sin. He is the one who created a world in which we can choose. You see, much of the pain in our world is a direct consequence of individual sin. Sins such as murder, greed, and hatred. This means there is also the suffering that we must bear as members of a fallen race. In that sense, it can actually be said that God is the author of the world in which calamity does strike. You see? It's the things that we've done. But yes, God did allow them to happen because he gave us free choice.
Yes.
We have free will. We can do what we please. Mm-hmm. But there are consequences.
Yes.
So let me try to answer this two questions about God's sovereignty. The first is, are we just puppets? I heard the chuckles, but the question really is, are we just puppets? Okay, the answer is a definite no. You absolutely have a choice. Christ calls, and we choose if we're going to respond. However, if you look at Ephesians 1:11, it says that God determines all things according to the counsel of his will. That's Ephesians 1:11. You know, that's true too, really. Neither one of them can be diminished. God is absolutely sovereign in all things, and we have a free will to make life choices for which we will give an account. I'm referencing Deuteronomy 29:29, just so you can go back and check. The second of these questions is, how can a loving God allow such human suffering? Let me assure you, God does not get up every morning and try to figure out how he can plant a bigger smile on your face. Y'all quiet, that's okay. The God I serve is always in the process of growing us and changing us. His love is transforming love. It's, well, go read Hebrews 12 and 6. I'm giving you a lot of scripture, and somebody said that means homework. Hebrews 12 and 6. Now, somehow, that's you and I, need to recognize that God's sovereignty is everywhere. God is sovereign in salvation, and God is sovereign in sanctification. Mm-hmm. The difference between people is not the circumstances we go through, but how we choose to deal with those circumstances. You see, we could face them straight on, call God and say, you know, how is it, what is it that you want me to do? Ask him his will, or we can run from it. I want to give you three ways that we can choose to embrace God's sovereignty, if that's okay with you. The first is to be obedient when told. In your heart, be obedient when told in your heart determines what God's word says. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we just answer and say, yeah, I'll obey. Yeah. The second way is to be righteous when tempted. And the third is be submissive when tested. We said we had such a great time in our time of sharing that I don't want to be long today, so I'm just going to close the message with this single message. I'm just going to close with this one single passage. Believing in God's sovereignty doesn't take away your question, but it will take away your anxiety. You will still have questions. You just won't be anxious over them. Determine today to surrender your why questions to God. Then release God to resolve or not resolve any issues that looms large in your life. Ask God to make this a turning point in your lifelong walk with him. Live with the mystery of how he is working all things together for your good. And even when you cannot see it or even imagine it, he's still working for your good.
Yes.
You see, Romans 8 and 28 says this, and I'm done. It says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. Called according to his purpose.